WEEI.
I want you to call WEEI Radio and scream.
New England Sports Original.
Duran at third, two-run deficit. The pitch is a ground ball that's going to end the game. Clements got it at second. He throws the first, ball game over. The Red Sox have lost five straight. Toronto scores five in the eighth. Red Sox battle late, but they come up short, and it is gut check time tomorrow in Toronto. 6-4 Blue Jays.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Christian Arcand.
Oh boy, Red Sox Review here, WEEI. Arcand with you. We'll go till 11-ish, no longer. We'll see how the calls are. I feel like this is a rant and rave kind of night. Feels like it, doesn't it? It feels like that kind
of
night.
We haven't had one of those really in a while.
Not like full on what the bleep, you know? Like it's just there's it points in April and May, Tristan. It was like too depressing to even really rant and rave, you know? Like it was just there was it seemed so hopeless that you didn't even get to that sort of angry point anymore, you know? And when they turned it around, it made you believe that anything was possible. It made you believe that, you know, what we saw in those first 2 months was just them getting warmed up. Or just bad luck, or whatever. I don't know. I don't know whatever conclusion you drew from that. My conclusion was that maybe I was wrong about this team. Maybe this team really is much, much better than we were giving them credit for. John Henry was hanging out in the stands with fans at Fenway Park. That's how good things were. That's how happy everyone was. It did seem a little too good to be true, but I also thought it would be kind of cliche to go from a run like that to immediately losing your next five in a row, which they haven't done since the beginning of the season, by the way. A loss tomorrow, and that's their longest losing streak of the season. So don't tell me I'm overreacting here about a five-game losing skid. You can't ever overreact to that, I don't think. You don't have anything locked up here. You have built yourself a cushion. Fleming's right about that. He was saying that afterwards. He's like, they have, with that run, built themselves a cushion, but it's not a cushion that holds up for 2 months when all of a sudden you revert back to how you looked in April and May. That cushion goes away real fast once that starts. The American League, too, pretty stagnant. You just need to be stagnant to hold off some of these teams. Red Sox losing a bunch of games in a row, that's not stagnant. That's you taking the elevator back down the standings from where you were. And that's scary. It's a scary thought. It's a scary thought for this team. We know how good they can play. We know how good they can be. We know how bad they can be. And so far, that's all we know. That's all we know. We don't know really anything in between. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about what this team is when they're not on an all-time historical heater. And now I think everyone kind of is. Wilson Contreras, with an error in this game that I feel like will be talked about a lot tomorrow, and I'll talk about it here. He should have caught it, of course. He was moving backwards, and he was going over his shoulder, but that ball hung up in the air forever. That was not like a little blooper. That thing was hanging in the sky, and he got his glove on it. He just missed it. That was an ugly, ugly play. But I don't think it had nearly the impact of Durbin's error last night, no. Tyron Guerrero was not red. I mean, he looked tired. He had tired body language. His pitches weren't really popping. It was unfortunate. That could have been an out, but that would have been the only out. They were getting hits off of him. He was not fooling anybody. They were making solid contact. They knew what was coming and where to look for it. So, yeah, I guess that could have been an extra run. And, right, butterfly effect. Who knows? The butterfly flaps its wing, and Contreras catches the ball, and then the inning goes completely different. I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. But the way Guerrero was pitching didn't look like he was just one out away from getting out of that thing. So I'm not trying to defend Contreras. He absolutely should have caught that. But I don't think that that cost him the game the same way Durbin's error last night did. But what's concerning is that at crucial points in these games, guys that you count on, your corner infielders. You know, we're not talking about guys who are getting rotated in and out of the middle infield at shortstop and second base. You're never really sure who's going to be out there. Is it Sogard? Is it, you know, Monasterio? Is it whoever? Is it Siegler? You know, you don't know who it's going to be. But on the corners, you know. It's going to be Durbin over there. It's going to be Contreras over there, so long as Contreras is healthy enough. And if all we had to go on was that missed pop-up, I would say, you know, I don't know about him being out there. But he also hit a missile of a home run off of Jose Soriano on a night where nobody else could touch the guy. So, you know, I'm not going to freak out that much about that one play when I feel there is much more to be concerned about here. How about the fact that no one else could get a hit off Soriano, basically? How about the fact that these, you know, at-bats, even against Cease last night, after Dylan Cease got taken out of the game, I feel like the Red Sox, the at-bats that they've been putting together, save for a few there in the ninth inning off the knuckleballer, have been brutal. Dylan Cease, they were patient. They didn't swing out of their shoes. They let sort of the pitches come to them into the strike zone, and when they weren't there, they laid off and they drew a bunch of walks. And they chased Cease, 104 pitches, five innings. That was about as good as you can do against them. And ever since Cease left that game against the Blue Jays bullpen last night and against Soriano today, and Soriano's good. It's not like he sucks, but, you know, he's not that good. And the Blue Jays bullpen, once again, until you got to Waldron, the knuckleballer there, made the Red Sox look pretty bad. And this is concerning. This is concerning what we're seeing with the offense. Love you, Adley Rutschman. Glad that they traded for you. You know, it's time, you know, like this is what it's all about. 0 for 3 with a walk. He was 1 for 3, got on base 3 times in the opener. Let's see some big hits. Let's see something, all right? Step in and let's see this lineup really expand. And let's see what we got here. I'm not blaming Adley Rutschman for going 0 for 3. But these are the reinforcements we were hoping for. This is the cavalry we were hoping for. And whether it's fair or it's not fair, you only get 2 months to show what you got. And I'd like to see Rutschman, you know, step in. And maybe it's just I'm a little spoiled. I think we all are a little spoiled. By the way, a lot of guys stepped in and immediately contributed this year. Siegler is an example that springs to mind immediately when they brought him up. You know, Gasper for a while when they first called him up was hitting a little bit. Then he obviously fell off. Monasterio didn't get called up per se, but when Kiner Falefa went down with his injury, I think Monasterio has been on the major league team all year. But when Kiner Falefa went down with his injury, now all of a sudden he's the primary utility guy. He's playing a lot, and once he started getting regular reps and regular at bats, he was contributing. And I know it's two games. I'm being ridiculous here, but let's go, Adley. Come on, we need you, buddy. We need you. This team needs you. And they need some offense. Because this offense is starting to show real signs of what it was early in the season. And what it was early in the season is something I'd like to forget. I'd like to never think about that offense again. I don't want to be reminded of it. And I don't want to ever feel like I'm watching that offense again. Last five games, I got to tell you, I got to tell you, the memories are starting to repopulate, and it is
no shot.
It is bad.
It's over.
Yeah, it's bad. Let's go to the phones here, 617-779-7937, and then we'll get to Chad Tracy. As a matter of fact, let's get to Chad Tracy right now. That way we can do three segments of phone calls. No one will get cheated here. I won't have to cut anybody off to go play Tracy. We'll just play Chad Tracy right now, Tristan, if we have it. Here's the manager after the game reacting to the Red Sox fifth straight loss.
They were able to get some good at-bats on them and put traffic out there. It's really nothing more than that, a hard ground ball through the middle and then a soft single to right and gets traffic, and you get into a spot and they put some good at-bats on them. It's as simple as that.
Used to seeing him throw 100 pretty regularly, only touched it a couple times. Was the velo down a little bit? Anything there?
Yeah, I mean, it's down a little bit, but, you know, he's another one that's heavily used, you know, so that happens from time to time. So, you know, I'm not alarmed by it, but that will happen when he's used a lot.
Got misplayed by Contreras, just turning too quick to check the runner, basically?
I think so, maybe. I mean, it looked also like it just drifted back to the right. He might have been doing that, but, you know, it just a miss. You know, it happens, and you got to move on.
What do you think of the at-bats today against Soriano?
Hit and miss. You know, I thought, obviously, we got a big swing from Wilson. That was good to see. You know, if we can get him going, that turns things, so that was good to see. We grinded. The pitching performances on both sides were good. You're in a one-to-one game. And they were able to break through.
What do you think it was that made Soriano so tough?
He's got a good sinker, man. The sinker is really good. It's hard. You know, he flips that breaking ball in there for a strike. So, But the sinker is an effective pitch.
Ranger went five, a little longer. What did you see from him?
I thought it was good. We got him up closer to 85, which is good. So we're getting him back to the area where he's stretched out. He obviously gets a great play from Abreu there, but I thought he threw the ball very, very well.
Chad, this group's obviously gone through a lot of ups and downs, different things. How do you see them kind of coming through this particular?
Well, I mean, we're pretty battle tested at this point, you know. I mean, it's I don't think surprise anybody. You're probably with at the point where we're at with 50 some games. You're probably going to go through a rough patch. We're going through it now. We got to fight our way out of it.
Was Whitlock down today?
Yes, he's was down. He's dealing with a little bit of inflammation in his elbow, so we got to check in and see where we're at there.
Is that something that could require an IL?
We got to see. Got to see how he responds, how he feels tomorrow. And we'll go from there.
That flare up last game, last outing.
It's been a hit and miss thing that's come about, and if it resurfaces, we put our radars up on that. So we'll just see. We'll see how he feels.
Is there anything you take from that last inning offensively?
I hope so. Yeah, I mean it's a collection of really good at-bats. Once again, get the tying run to the plate. You hope you can take something like that and carry it into tomorrow, for sure.
Up until then, what were you seeing offensively? It's been a couple days now of that sort of...
Yeah, I mean, again, he pitched well. Soriano threw the ball well. We didn't do a whole lot with him. I thought in the second time through, we took much better at-bats. We did hit a few more hard outs. It went right at people today. We got some of that going on as well, in addition to some of the struggles with the at-bats. But I thought the second time through was a lot better. The ball went at people. We have to keep grinding.
There you have it, Chad Tracy there speaking to the media. Some news about Garrett Whitlock, and it is not good. We'll tell you about it in just a minute. We'll get to your phone calls as well. There is one open phone line. Someone just dropped off, so go ahead and grab it at 617-779-7937, and we'll be right back here on Red Sox Review.
WEEI.
WEEI.
Boston's Sports Original. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Here's the pitch. And it is looped into right field. Coming on Abreu. Out goes Contreras. Wilson behind the back as the infield fly rule is called. It's dropped in foul ground. And now the runners are advancing. Guerrero goes over to third, but it's a foul ball. Oh, that hurts. I mean, Guerrero made a huge pitch. If it's dropped in fair ground, obviously Guerrero has the liberty to run there, but not in foul territory.
Wilson Contreras giveth and taketh away in this game. It's Christian Arakan here, Red Sox Review. We'll get to your phone calls in just a minute. That was an ugly drop, but Guerrero, after that, did not look like he was going to get three outs in the inning. It didn't look like he was going to be able to finish that inning, no matter if there was that one out there or not. He had nothing. I mean, really had nothing. He did get that pop-up, and, Contreras did drop it. I'm not going to say that Contreras didn't completely boot that thing. He did. But in terms of the impact that it had, it didn't seem like Guerrero was coming close to settling down after that. I mean, he didn't record an out afterwards. You got to be able to recover from something like that. That didn't score any runs. That wouldn't have gotten him out of the inning. That would have been the first out. So I'm sorry. I thought that Durbin's error last night was very impactful. I thought this one tonight was probably uglier than that one because it was a pop-up that just hung up there. And he did have to move, backwards and go over his shoulder. But that's no excuse for not catching that ball. He absolutely should have caught that ball. Absolutely should have caught it. But I don't think it cost him the game tonight. I don't. What do you think? 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go ahead and start with our leadoff man, Casper in Worcester. Hey, Casper.
Yes, Christian. It was not a pretty picture.
No.
When there's good pitching, you can't make mistakes and blow opportunities. And that's what happened. It doesn't matter which team. And unfortunately, that's the last two games. So I'm not very happy about this. I certainly hope they turn that around and those kind of miscues don't occur. But they're glaring when you're tightly scored games, and they really stand out. And
yeah.
I don't know what else to say. Do I believe this is going to continue extensively? The answer still is no, but I'm as unhappy as you are and most of the Red Sox Nation. With that said, I'll let you go.
All right, thanks, Casper. Appreciate it, and thanks for checking in. Yankees game has gone final. Went final a while ago, but I'm just telling you about it now. The Yankees now 68-52. They are four games up on the Red Sox for the first wild card. And in the AL East. The Rays, by the way, are just completely running away with it. They've won nine in a row. They have 74 wins. That is best in the majors, tied with the Brewers. That is tied for best in the majors. That's more than the Braves. It's more than the Dodgers. Yep, it is. Tampa Bay, without really a lot of fanfare, because the Red Sox were really the talk of the league for about a month there. But right now, the Rays are running away with the American League and potentially the best record in baseball. So something to keep an eye on here is the Red Sox lose their fifth straight, and the Yankees win again. 617-779-7937. Let's try Daryl in Manhattan. Go ahead, Daryl.
Hey, Ken, how's it going?
Not great tonight.
Distraught.
Not great.
Very distraught. Mm-hmm. A few things I just wanted to say. And that is that how in the world, rhetorically speaking, how in the world can you go from 27-3 to a 5-game losing streak? Now I understand what the Cub fans must be going through, because they had 10-game losing streak, another 10-game winning streak, and now they leveled out, and now they're playing great ball. I mean, how in the world can you go from a 27-3, 900 ball mm-hmm. to 0% ball?
Daryl, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you for checking in, and thanks for asking the question. And I would just say, the same way they went from being the worst team in the league to the hottest team of all time. They're a streaky team. Cubs are another example of a streaky team. They had a great start, and then they were just the worst team I've ever seen. Could not win a game. We're getting pantsed on a nightly basis. And then came right back. And what you said at the end is exactly right, and something I wish the Red Sox would do. Leveled off. They leveled off. This team, I don't know what their level is. I don't know what leveling off looks like for them. You know, regression to the mean is a phrase people like to use, but I don't know if you can use it with this team, because what's the mean for them? I don't know what it is.
It's over.
I don't know. I don't know what it is, Dave. Dave, sorry, Will. I'm not sure what it is. They called him Dave. Don't play that for him.
That's his brother, I think.
Yeah, right. Yes, of course, his brother. yeah, that is... I'm not saying the season's over. I'm not saying this team stinks. But I am telling you, they are a streaky team. And streaky teams are kind of tough to really set your watch to. You don't know what you're getting. You don't know when one streak's starting and one streak's ending. You don't know how long the streak's going to go for. You don't really know much. All you know is you're just going to get one extreme or the other. And we're seeing that right now again here, right on the back of one of the most extremely positive stretches in baseball history, any team. And that's where we are. It is... Let's buckle up, folks. That's all I can really tell you. It's August 12th. We got three more weeks here in this month, and then we got all of September, all right? We got 6-7 weeks still to go. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting finish here for this team. Let's try our guy David in Florida. Hey, David. David. I guess David's not there, or Tristan's not listening to me, one or the other.
Nope, he's potted up.
He's potted up. Hello, David.
Hi, are you there?
I'm there. Where are you?
All right. I'm here. I'm sitting at Flanagan's.
You're at Flanagan's?
I'm about to go in.
My man. I love Flanagan's. That's great. Yeah. Well, don't let me keep you from Flanagan's. If you don't know, Flanagan's is the best restaurant in Florida. Okay, what do you got then, David? I don't want to keep
you. Where's Romy been?
In the minors.
Where's Romy been the past four or five games? Why? What's wrong with him?
He could not hit anything. I mean, he was. Did you watch him? I mean, when they brought him back, he couldn't hit anything.
Well, he was in a bad streak, but I like Romy. But, you know, first, but the offense, and Duran's putting up hellish numbers lately. I mean, he's doing nothing. I mean, yeah, he gets a double yesterday when he's 0-4, and tonight he goes 1-4 again. I mean, this team is, like you said, they're so streaky, and that's all they're going to do is just remain streaky, but they have to flatten out and be consistent, and they're not being consistent. The offense has just been dismal the past four games, and they just have to get their act together. It's going to be an interesting 6 weeks, like you said, but they have to get their act together, and I don't have any confidence that they will.
Yeah, David, thanks for the call. Romy Gonzalez he just couldn't do it. Hit 185 with a 264 on base, slugged 308 for a 572 OPS, which for most of the year were Jaron Duran numbers. But you can't have that from a guy who's, you know, basically a part-time player, which is what he was. You know, you need better from that, from a guy who's going to be coming in like that. Now, for Duran, it's been a rough go for him. He did have that double in the ninth inning when they started to come back a little bit. But aside from that, you know, he's gone right back in the tank. Let's try Joe in Saugus. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Christian. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So I wanted to a little bit of positive in the ninth inning when they started that comeback rally. Yeah. Maybe that'll bring momentum tomorrow's game. And second, Anthony Seagull, why isn't he playing over Sogard? That's when the winning streak started, you know, when he came up.
That's true. Joe, thanks for the call. And you're right. They did show a little bit of a pulse in the ninth inning. It was against the knuckleballer who, you know, they just kind of tossed in there with a 5-run lead. And, you know, I mean, to say why wasn't Siegler in there instead of Sogard, I don't know. I mean, I think probably Siegler needed a night off. They lost 4 in a row with Siegler in the lineup, too, so it's not like they needed him out there. You know, I don't think they lost because Tony Siegler wasn't in the game. You know, and I like Siegler, too, by the way. But, you know, that's sort of the problem when the magic pixie dust wears off of guys like Siegler and wears off of guys like Monasterio, which technically I wouldn't even say has officially happened yet with him. But you're kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop. You know, you're sort of in reverse of like Jaron Duran. You keep waiting for him to get hot. Meanwhile, these other guys, you keep waiting for them to sort of fall back to what they are. And that can be kind of, and I don't mean to crap all over you, Joe. I know you're trying to be positive there, but, you know, that comeback in the ninth inning was, I don't know. I don't know how real it was. If they had put a real reliever in there, as soon as they put the real reliever in, it was over. I mean, that was, you know, that was it.
Day late, dollar short.
Yeah, you kind of got that sense. 6-1 lead, that'll do it. You know, I mean, that's all it really takes. I hate to even do this, but how about Bob the Red Sox hater in Warwick? What do you got tonight, Bob?
This is what I've got.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Breslow should contact Kyle Yastrzemski, Rico Petrocelli, Jim Lonborg, John Wyatt.
This again.
Reggie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Miller.
Yep.
Go back to the George Scott died. Can't contact him. John
Wyatt.
Can't argue that one. Maybe they can help him. Maybe those boys can help him out. That's when the Red Sox were the impossible dream.
Uh-huh.
And I was a Red Sox fan back then, too.
Uh-huh. And then you said, "Not never again." And now I'm just going to call and troll the Red Sox Review Show.
1980, I quit out.
That's when you quit.
Burleson.
Ah, of course. Of course. Bob, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. That was a pretty... it said on the call screen, it wants to do a victory lap. That was like, you know... You hear like the emphysema in the victory. He's like,
I think Bob, that was a victory lap.
It was. I think he maybe, you know, started celebrating a little early there. But either way, Bob, enjoy it, buddy. You know, Yankees putting some distance between themselves and the Red Sox after being just a half game out. The Red Sox now 4 games back of the Yankees. Sad. Is that you playing that music? What is that music?
That's the Yes music. Sorry.
Oh, the Yes Network. Okay. I was like, what are we listening to?
I feel like it's appropriate to like play that under Bob and his wheezing.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, there was some wheezing going on.
Make it like
there.
Slightly more exciting.
Listen, who among us, right? 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got open phone lines. Go ahead and grab one. Final break here. We'll come back and wrap things up next on Red Sox Review.
Your game, your way. Take your pre and post game coverage on the go. Download the Odyssey app and search WEEI. Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Bases filled with Blue Jays. They already lead 2-1 in the bottom of the 8th. 3-2. Here's the pitch, and it is outside ball 4. We walked him. Slider not even close. Decision time for Chad Tracy. I think he might take him out. He is.
Yeah, tough outing there for Tyron Guerrero. Christian Arcan here, Red Sox Review. We'll get to the rest of your phone calls in just a minute. However, I tease some news. You heard it from Chad Tracy in his media availability there. Garrett Whitlock not available tonight because he's dealing with elbow inflammation. Great. That's great. I did wonder. I thought something was awry last night. Seth Martinez coming into a one-run game, going with Sandoval for another inning. My antenna was up right away last night. I talked about it, just the decisions that Tracy made and why he'd stick with Sandoval there and then why he'd go to Martinez in a one-run game. Seemed unusual. Whitlock should be rested by now, right? And if you go by the calendar, yeah, he should be. But he's got some elbow tightness or elbow inflammation, excuse me, elbow inflammation is how it's being described. Bad news. Elbow anything is bad news. And I hate to hear about inflammation. I hate to hear about inflammation at any time, certainly in August. But it is important to remember here that this would not be the first time a Red Sox bullpen burned out due to overuse at the end of a season. It's happened a few times, a few consecutive times, honestly.
This
and I'm
not
talking
great.
I'm not talking about just Aroldis Chapman here or anything like that. You know, Chapman's been good, but you know, this wouldn't be the first time. Let's put it that way. Would not be the first time. This team's had the same record at this point for how many years in a row? Just about. And then what ends up happening in August and September just about every year? No reinforcements come for the offense, and the bullpen gets burned out. And that happened with Cora. And, you know, I mean, Tracy's been doing his best, but you've had to lean on some guys. You've had to lean on guys to come out and close these games out. Ranger Suarez. I like Ranger Suarez a lot. But another game where he only goes five innings, which is more than he'd been giving you before, but we're really not seeing him go deep into games. Another no decision for him. He missed a bunch of time. He's not giving you a lot of innings. Like, I don't want to pick on the guy because obviously the starting pitching is not the problem with this team. But it does seem like the bridge from the starter to the back end of the bullpen, the good part of the bullpen, is always a little bit longer when he's out there pitching, and that's why he doesn't get a lot of these decisions. That's why he only has, you know, what, three wins, four wins? So, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see him go a little bit deeper into these games, knowing how talented he is and, you know, veteran making a lot of money here with that free agent contract. It'd be nice to see him stretch these starts out a little bit longer. And let's all just pray for Garrett Whitlock in that elbow because that is a terrifying piece of news there from Chad Tracy. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go ahead and do this diplomatically. Sean is in West Hampton. Go ahead, Sean.
No, I'm in East Hampton, but that's all right.
East
no
Hampton.
Worries.
Sorry, Sean. Go ahead. What's up?
That's all right. Yeah, you think about it, you're talking about the starters not going deep into games and the relievers getting worn out. Gee, that seems to be the same argument, you know, like if right. These pitchers could pitch a little bit more, if the batters could hit a little bit better than what they weigh, for example, average-wise, mm-hmm. You know, I think those are all weaknesses across Major League Baseball. It seems like the 300 hitter is like legendary, if there are very many of them, and it's more like a 250 or 240 hitter now, you know, like, and that's just a shame. I mean, it's not that the pitching's that much better, is it? Or is it?
Sean, I'm not out there facing these guys. I couldn't tell you. Thanks for the call. You know, I think that there is something to be said for that. There is something also to be said for the fact that, you know, outside of Slayton, who missed some time, Whitlock and Chapman, you have some question marks. Greg Weissert taken out of that bullpen, and the bullpen looks worse without him. I know. Sometimes you just need guys to eat innings, and he wasn't exactly great at doing that. But sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side. I think the Red Sox are finding that out right now. And even in games when the starter does go deep into the game, you still need someone for the eighth, you still need someone for the ninth, and this offense, mostly this season, up until recently, was not giving you a ton of runs to work with. We're in a lot of big leads. You know, big multi-run leads where you can do what the Blue Jays did tonight and throw a knuckleballer in there for, you know, a couple outs. before you actually bring in the adult who can close the game down. Red Sox haven't had a lot of opportunities like that this year, not until the last couple of months. And they're not getting a lot of those opportunities now here either, not since they who did they beat 14-2? Was that the A's in the first game? Yeah, that first A's game, that 14-2 ass-whooping. It's the last time they got to, you know, just throw some guys out there or whatever. Let's try Randy and Needham. Go ahead, Randy.
Hi. I wanted to say I think the reason that they're doing so poorly is it's been a letdown emotionally and physically after those two long winning streaks. Mm. I mean, it's tough to watch it now, these losing five straight games, and it's really disappointing. You know, I'm disappointed in watching it, thinking they were going to do great after the two winning streaks.
Yeah, I thought so too, Randy. Thanks for the call. And that's sort of the reason why I wasn't too concerned after they lost those that A's series, is because after the first winning streak ended, the 15-game win streak, the one that was tied for the longest in the history of the franchise, after that ended, they went 10-2 or 11-2. I forget exactly what the number was before they lost again, but or before they started the streak that they're on right now. But it was pretty great, along with another 9-game win streak. So I figured, okay, this team's focused. They're not going to let the fact that a 15-game win streak just ended sink them. And I was pretty happy about that. I was proud. I was thinking, man, that's, you know, good on Chad Tracy, good on the veteran leaders on this team. I feel like that's kind of a testament to them. And then the 9-game win streak ends, and all of a sudden they're regressing right in front of our very eyes. The question is, to what end? To what end is this regression to the mean going to where are you going to hit? What is the mean? What is the mean for this team? Mathematically, we know what it is. It's somewhere, you know, 10 games over 500, 9 games over 500, whatever it is right now. That's what you are. And as the great Bill Parcells once said, whatever your record is, there's what you are. And this team is a good team in the American League. When they're on their game, they're as good as any team in baseball history, evidently. But as far as this year is concerned, even with the brutal 2 months, add it all up, and you've got a team that's one of the better teams in the American League, for now. For now. Throw another month in the tank, month and a half, 2 months in the tank. Don't act like that's out of the question. We saw them go 2 months in the tank to start the year. Okay, so I'm not guaranteeing it here or anything. I'm just telling you, don't call me some sort of panicker. I'm not trying to overcomplicate things. I'm just sort of telling you where we're at. There's 6-7 weeks left in the season, and that's plenty of time for things to go any number of ways. Kevin and Woburn, you get the last word. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Christian, how are you, buddy?
Good, Kevin.
I listen to you every night. I met you at Banners when you were Jones and Mego or whatever her name was.
Very cool. Yeah, right. We were out there. Yeah. I was out there too. The Rams Super Bowl. I was at the scoreboard for that too. I hosted a party there or whatever. I love it over there. I love Uber.
Yeah. So I don't want to be negative about the Sox. I think. You know, tonight they had the rally in the ninth, which mm-hmm. was enlightening. And you know, that last batter, I think it was, I forget what his name was. If he hit a home run with a man on first.
It was Sogard.
It would have been tied.
Yeah, right.
So, you know. So
yeah, Kevin, and if Grandma had testicles, she would be Grandpa. So, you know, I mean, we can't just play, we can't play ifs, can we?
I know, but... But I don't want to be negative. I want to be positive. They're still in these games just because they're having a little bit of a little bump in the road. I mean, they're still in these games. So I think we need to be positive because the Sox, I mean, let's face it, the past couple of months have really been very positive. And with all the winning streak mm-hmm. after what happened at the beginning of the year and firing the coach and the rest of the staff. And now we have a whole new everything. And they're doing good, and I'm watching every game. I care about every game, and
yeah.
I wish ticket prices were a little bit lower. So,
well.
But hey, have a great night, buddy.
All right, awesome. Thank you very much, Kevin. Appreciate it, and I'll see you at the bar over at Scoreboard there, or at that place across the street that what's it called? It's a Chinese restaurant. It's in like a mansion, an old mansion. with this crazy bar. I haven't been there in years. Oh, but that place used to really kick ass. That place was great. What was that place? What was it called? I don't know. You look it up for me, Tristan. What's the name of that famous Chinese restaurant in Woomer over by the scoreboard with the crazy bar? Oh, that's going to bother me if I can't think of it. And it might not be open anymore. I actually don't know. it may have closed. I'm not sure. At any rate, Red Sox lost. Sichuan Garden 2. That's what it is. I forget what the name of the mansion was, but that's part of the name too. And yeah, there you go. Yeah, I used to rock with that place. I haven't been there in years. I haven't been there in a while. I've been to the scoreboard more recently than I've been there. But those are two institutions that I enjoy out in Woburn. All right, that's all the time we have here tonight. Red Sox lose. They'll try not to make it a season-high 6 consecutive losses tomorrow afternoon. You will not hear me for that, but you will hear a full 4-hour Christian Arcan show starting at 6 o'clock.
Yes!
We'll have dongs, even though I think it's Josh who's never done the dong report before. Be an interesting
really?
Dong report. I think so, yeah.
Oh, that is going to be must-listen radio.
I know. It's going to be a dong christening, so yeah,
no pressure, tuned. Josh. Nah, it's easy.
Starting at 6 o'clock.
No shot. It's over.
Hi, are you there?
I'm there. Where are you?
All right. I'm here.
Canadian ketchup made with Canadian tomatoes.